Okay. Off we go. Bum, ba, ba, diddle, diddle. Okay. Have a wonderful day, guys. See you tonight. Oh, are you going to come get me early? Before you got to go get the kids or what? You don't have to. Before the kids take off to their Wednesday night stuff, sorry. Okay. Well, just come get me whenever you guys want to. For something. Yeah, fine, good. That was fun. Bye bye. You too. I love you. Alright, we're off and walking. Calculating. Years and stuff. Of course, we have the 25th anniversary coming up here in a couple of days. Well, Lisa and I are taking off to points unknown. Well, Albuquerque. And, and I'm, something just came to mind, and I'm getting to the point to where when things come to mind, I try to act on them instead of putting them off. I decided that it was time to, have a little fun with my room. Throw that stuff out there. So that, now that I got this Facebook thing, and my dad said, you know, you could do that Mariner's Log thing. Publicize that through Facebook. And I said, yeah, that's right. So on Facebook, I decided to do LinkedIn. Just to keep me top of mind as I finish up my master's degree. I did a little check yesterday on, I don't know if I'm going to move to New Zealand, but I think it's a pretty decent indicator of whether an immigration scheme finds you presentable. And without even having a job offer in New Zealand, I would be at the top of the list for, or I would be high enough in points. I always place through point-based schemes. I'd have enough points to be able to go for a resident, a permanent resident visa, there. Which is quite, you know, it's still good. Heck, fire. It's still real good. Oh. It's a little windier today than it was yesterday. Anyway, okay, so, I'm sorry. I decided I was trying to do something with the stuff that I have out on the Kindle store. there's this program called KDP Select. A lot of people, there's mixed emotions about it. Frankly, I'm the guy that says, you know what, I make an income. I'm not trying to become some rich writer or anything at all. I want people to read my stuff. Now if there's some money that comes out, that's a happy day for me. But, during any given 90-day period, you can have 5 days of, five free days where something you've got in KDP Select is free for 5 days. Doing calculating, saying, oh, you know, I could say this is a 25th anniversary special, but then I said, oh, wait a minute. The short stories that got kind of pulled together for the Joy of Autism and Christian Ethos short story collection. They were written 15 years ago. And, so yeah, it's kind of an anniversary for them, too, so I figured I would just have an anniversary sale. And, so for 5 days, the Joy of Autism and Christian Ethos is going to be for sale. For free! I'm giving it away. Through the KDP Select program. I just decided to drop Escape off of the KDP Select program. Do whatever's needed. We'll shake stuff up a little bit. I mean, this was kind of what getting on Facebook was going to be about anyway. So I guess anybody who wants to friend me, I'll be grateful to have. Just put stuff out there. I think I can make it happen due to telling everybody it's my 25th wedding anniversary. You know, everybody else congratulate me. God, I got a free gift for all of you. we'll see what kind of happens with that. Because really when it does come down to it, it isn't about money to me particularly. It has more to do with just getting the stuff out there and getting it read. Oh, I think it's the humidity. I think it's humid. And so, it's a little colder than normal. I think it's down in the 40s this morning. Caleb was complaining about how he doesn't like this time of year, in the winter especially not. And I said, the weather here is almost exactly the same as it is in Houston, Carrie. It's colder though! He's like, oh. I said, well, he said, trust me, it would have been colder this year in Houston, Carrie. It is today. But Houston Carrie is over. The house is sold. There's another finance sale, so I'm actually still waiting for the first payment to come in. Sold to, I'm told they're a nice family. I really don't know if I know them at all. But they seem like the right people for the circumstance, you know? Seems good. I think they have 4 kids. Young kids. And definitely a house for a good-sized family. And that's, it's big. So, I hope it goes well for them. Because if it goes well for them, it goes well for me. I won't have to try to resell the place later. I want them to be able to hold on to it for the rest of their life, if they like. Or at least they pay me off. Anyway, I'm really, really happy for them. They're happy for me. It was helping me accomplish my goals too. We were needing to downsize anyway. Just because we don't need a big old rambling house anymore. And it coincides with a lot of other things that I talked about ad nauseum in the past. So, just doesn't really matter to any great extent. So it's always good to have a win-win thing when somebody's really excited about something and when it works in their favor. That's what you want. You don't need it to be something or someone else has to lose so that you can win. That's not interesting. Well, we'll see what happens. You know, yesterday I was talking about the article from Scott Adams about what to do. And you know, there was a preface, but the very first paragraph to it was basically telling you why this would only be a little entertaining for you. Which is, if you're making enough money and if you feel, you know, fulfilled by the work that you do, don't bother getting involved in it. Of course. I think that's what led me to the place where I'm at now, is that the things I had weren't really fulfilling me. But that was also coupled with my patriarchal blessing, which seemed to say that I should be doing better than I was. And doing better than I am, you know, people say, oh, you're here at the top, you've been here for a long time, right? And we go, no. And we go, well, how can you know that? We go, because I'm not going to be able to take care of things here. I'm not going to be able to achieve that, as far as I can tell, by just sticking around here and keeping the job I have now. So I've got to push forward. I've got to do more. And I find myself strangely buoyed up by doing more, you know? Most people will tell you that the joy and happiness comes from, you know, having enough money so you can enjoy your hobbies and things like that, and things you like to do, and that's great. I'm not pursuing that. I just know that as I've been here working stridently on things, I'm feeling pretty good. This is kind of invigorating. I've got to be careful, though. I don't want to go too far. And I've got kind of a blank couple of days here, or a couple of weeks. Well, I can't really work, I can't really do much on my, current classes, for fear that I won't get them done in time. In fact, I think today is the 15th, I think today was the last day I can sign up for anything. And I'm letting that go. Well, we will begin again, afresh, in November. First, we hit the ground running yet again. And we pull that stuff off. Oh, this is depressing. I started finally doing some work on Pico Lift for my server. And it's not working as advertised. Last night I decided that I was going to look around at some other possibilities. Although I gotta say that Pico Lisp really is probably the answer, so I might have to roll back to a 32-bit version of it. So that I can set the stuff aware. Otherwise, I've actually got the website running through PicoList, through the part that I got to work, on the new server. The domain name, shetlandic.info, is now pointing at it. Any traffic that comes goes to that box. And, that's great. And freaking stinking fantastic. I need to make sure that 413, I never looked to see if it was accessible from outside the network. I should make sure of that. Make some changes in the firewall to accommodate the change that 413 made. That's the name of the server that it's using. You know, carrier bright is really obnoxious, sir. ma'am, whatever. Anyway, so getting back to Kindle Direct Publishing, KDP, and the KDP Select program. That's what we're doing. That's how we're going to tout it, you know. 25th anniversary. I'm giving gifts. And these are good ones. These are ones I used to just give away back in the old days. They still float around a little bit. These are all of the stories that were originally part of a penny theater, except for the Rachel story, because it's so much bigger, and Lisa likes it so much more. That's what I give away, and of course I sell Rachel and Escape, part of the video series. Now I just gotta tell them that Prophecy, the next book in the series, is on hiatus while I'm working on my master's. Oh, but yeah, that way it won't seem like so much of a sales job. I can count it more as a gift. And then here in a little while, I can say, you know, because I originally got on Facebook because my dad told me that I needed to get out the Mariner's log, more subscribers. I'll do that a little bit later. But yeah, the 25th anniversary. So I try to befriend a bunch of people and then get some people I know. So anyway, I'm doing that. On another note, I was I woke up this morning having a dream that I was going to some school to be a chaplain. If you don't remember, a while back, I had actually applied for the job of being a chaplain at the prison in Santa Rosa a while back. Kind of pace crappy, but, you know, thought I could do some good stuff there. It didn't work out. Try this as well. A Mormon in a prison that's going to be predominantly Catholic and Baptist is a tricky sell. Although I think I was candidate number two. I'm pretty consistently number two on a regular basis. If I don't win it, I'm usually the second choice. Regardless, somebody better than you are. But anyway, so I'm sorry. Chaplain thing. Although I don't like the military, I don't know what that thing is going for. But I woke up thinking about chaplain. And you know, the thing was probably pretty good from the standpoint of being a little kind to the Christians. Sometimes I'm not very kind to them. I do think it's because the orthodoxy of it, I think you have to be kind of a radical to be a radical Christian, to be a better follower of Jesus Christ. Sometimes you get that impression. Hope it's not true. Anyway, I was talking to Josh about before, you know. And then thinking and say, you know what? Christians around here are very much about putting up little crosses everywhere, you know, placards all over the place. And my contention is always that is a little pharisaical. I think the CCRing is almost getting a little bit like that, as in doing what Christ condemned the Pharisees for, which is putting on a show. You know. Not really saying if these achievements are going to help you get to heaven. I don't, you know, there's a good chance that they do. But that if you could easily fall into the trap of it being a show of your piety, you know, I have left the cross and therefore I'm a pious person. I think exactly what Christ was getting on to them about. That these were, you know, I would rather have you actually be a good person rather than putting on a show that you are a good person. Anyway, so I've got that a little bit. I said, yeah, and the people that kind of, you know, I was telling Josh the little thing I've thought about lately too, you know. It's always happy horror movies. It's like a cute little kid, usually a little blonde-headed, pale-headed girl in a curly little dress, and she's so cute, she's playing there with her dollies. And let's say you walk up to and touch one of her dollies. And all of a sudden, you know, her head splits. And she's actually some kind of monster and goes, ah! And of course, the horror movie, so you go, ah! Perfect horror movie stuff. And I said, you know, I've met Christians that behave that way. I mean, not that bad, granted, but, you know, there seem such nice, wonderful, sweet people, and all of a sudden they hear that you're a Mormon, and all of a sudden they change. They understand that I come from Baptist / Church of Christ country, and, well, there's several churches, but those are probably the predominant big ones. And they're pretty excited about the fact that they're the only Christian denomination that's ever going to go to heaven. All the rest of you are going to hell. And that's problematic because it's like, how could one Christian denomination basically has no other criteria than any of the rest of them, how are they able to lay any claim to, oh, well, you're going to be saved in our denomination, but then the rest of you will be. And it's like, okay, you lost me there. How can one sticker take on it? How can you demonstrably prove that not dancing, what's something a Baptist do? I guess one of the big ones is not dancing. Not dancing gets you to heaven. The Church of Christ is big about instrumental music. They don't do that. Fantastic a cappella singers. Because they have to be. They're not allowed to have any accompaniment. I found that funny because my grandmother, who was a Church of Christ, she was a piano player. instrumental music, you know, it's not a proper way to worship God. I have no idea where that particular philosophy comes from. I'm sure there's some vague scripture reference that may allude to such a thing. Anyway, so, but there's plenty that indicate that music was acceptable and fine and happy in the sight of God. Oh, they're kind of stuff, but anyway, you know, one of those things of, well, we're going to make it and you're not. Church of Christ was funny. My grandparents, my mom's stepfather and mother were Church of Christ. So, that's where I get my kind of take on it, is from that. Anyway, I was getting out to professional Christians. That's one of my terms for preachers and ministers, guys who basically make a living in, quote, the ministry. And you go, you know, because most Christians are pretty even-handed about things, and I appreciate it very much, you know. It's a guy that comes from a religious tradition that is used to getting persecuted by others, mostly Christians, and, you know, getting all their lands and their houses stolen away, and stuff like that. So, and you know, forced to flee from areas. Ending up having to go to the desert to get away from, well, basically Christians. Usually being stirred up by their ministers. Professional Christians. People who are paid to be either examples or to teach others how to live proper Christian life. So, yeah, do I have a little bit of a problem with that? Yeah, a bit. Now, if you treat me good, I'm happy. You know, I think I'm trying to be a top-down person, but I go into these things with a little bit of reticence, you know? Oh, you know, people like you, you kill people like me, and feel like they were serving God while they were doing it, so I'm a little, hello. So, I hope you're not too offended when I see your cross in your house, or frankly, out here, they put it right out in the front yard. What started all this was the notable Christian symbols just thrown out in public, which is fine. You know, this is a predominantly Christian community. People live out of town can put up whatever things they want, really. No rules against it. I don't want to really create a rule against it, you know. Me and Mr. Libertarian, we don't do that stuff. Anyway, so, yeah, I hope it doesn't offend you that these symbols give me the willies, you know. I know you guys think that Christians are just the most wonderful group of people that ever walked the earth, and happy day for you. But, you know, I find a lot in common with Muslims when it's like, oh yeah, Christians are great. When are they planning the next crusade? When American intervention into the Middle East gets the distinct odor of a crusade, and some people even physically or vocally put it into that kind of term, you know, boy, that makes everybody really happy. I know who they're trying to charge up, and it's not the Muslims. You know, 2 years ago, listening to a talk by Senator Hinckley, he was our prophet, and he said, I really thought that we were regarded better in society. And he said, but I found out that things really have changed. There's so much of suspicion and hatred, and you're going, I don't remember when was the last time some Mormon snatched your child and killed her. Of course, you have to understand, for some of these denominations, Baptists are the ones I know about, and Church of Christ, of course. But, you know, if they join the Mormon Church, it's over. You know, they're going to hell. And so they would have a built-in problem with that happening. Of course, we do missionary work, people join our church on a pretty regular basis. We just passed 15 million. And so I can understand their feelings of maybe we are their, you know, their child snatchers. And that they feel like it's a cult because they can't understand how the Spirit can rot upon people because it doesn't happen in their world. They're striving to, by and large, an appeal to traditionalism. Although it can be, you know, it can be, I remember this one girl when I was on my mission. She was kind of a bad girl, troublemaker, when she was a little bit younger. She saw the light in Christian parlance, and she was all wound up in sneaking Bibles at the time it was still the Soviet Union, sneaking Bibles into the Soviet Union in defiance of the government. Now, Mormons don't, as a policy, don't do that. We go into the front door, and if we're not, if they don't want us in, we won't go in. You know, you'll have to find out about the Book of Mormon through other means. And it's not a problem, you know. People travel. Things get around. One of our favorite stories is of this Italian. Actually, I think he was from Sicily, so he was a Sicilian. And he was a church man. I forget which flavor of orthodoxy I think he was involved in. But it was a Italian church. And he found the Book of Mormon in Aspen. And he read it. The first few pages, which actually said what the name of the book was, and who published it, and all that stuff, have been defaced to the point to where you couldn't figure it out. The cover was worn thin, so you couldn't get from the cover. And he became, he strivingly, he prayed about the book, found out that it was the Word of God. And he was preaching it. Preaching doctrine from the Book of Mormon. And of course, he's causing all kinds of problems. He got thrown out of his sect a few times. And they let him back in a couple of times. But then they found out that he still believed what he believed. They asked him to burn the book, and he wouldn't do it. He got in trouble in the military. He finally found out that there was a church. You know, he finally found out about the LDS Church because he stumbled across the name Mormon, which, you know, was in the Book of Mormon quite a bit. You know, it's one of the writers of it toward the end. Actually, the great compiler of the whole thing. His name was Mormon. And he saw that word in the dictionary. And it said, hey, believe by church in Salt Lake City, so he contacted him. And then the whole story got wound up in him trying to get baptized. It couldn't seem to, you know, it seemed like every time he attempted to do this, something would get in the way. Some war would start. Italy was on the other side during World War II, so that was obviously a bad time. He couldn't get involved in that. World War I didn't go very well. And finally, he got baptized. Went to the temple and did all the things, that all the blessings that one can get. Not difficult. And he eventually, in surgery and then he died. And it's a wonderful story. But just to say that, you know, so this girl got wrapped up in the whole thing of, oh, we're going to save the Soviet Union. We're going to save people in the Soviet Union by shooting Bibles into it. And, you know, and I think that's really petty for teenagers, especially wanting to have kind of a checkered past. You know, one typically has a checkered past, one often has a checkered past, because, you know, that's exciting. And then for somebody to translate that and say, hey, you can do that kind of stuff for Christ, you know, it's almost like law-breaking with God's seal of approval on it. Wee-haw! And, I think we tried this for a minute to her, but it wasn't going to work because that really worked for her way of doing things, you know, rebel against sin sort of attitude. And, it was interesting. It was interesting time, and she was trying to share with us all the cool things she was doing, and they're like, well, I don't really know if Jesus would approve. Oh, yeah, he'll approve. And you go, what evidence do you have that that's true? Think of Joseph. Of course, you're kind of hard-pressed to have people, to have Christians especially, put much credence in Old Testament stories, although sadly, Old Testament stories is just about all we have about good, righteous living. Christians struggle with that because, you know, they're not Jews. And they're not necessarily children of Israel. Many of them are, although they don't know it. Anyway, so yeah. You know, certainly not going to talk down Christians in for their zeal. Zeal is many of them. The trouble is that you've got to make sure that your zeal is directed properly. And I'm not saying that Mormons have some exclusive contract on that. They don't. There's some awfully wonderful Christians, thoughtful Christians too. But there are some awfully silly, screwed up, going off in the wrong direction Mormons too. Not a lot of them. I'll have to grant you that. You try to have a system that kind of doesn't leave a lot of these things to chance. We have no acceptable branches, splinter groups. Christianity has fallen into the horrible trap of being a little too accommodating of just about anything. It is kind of weird that they can't be accommodating to Mormons at the same time. I find that to be just absolutely stunning. I think it has to do with the influence of Satan, honestly. Satan doesn't care if it's influence, particularly. He's going to get the majority of them. For one reason or another. You know, Christianity is pretty much embraced perversion, sexual perversion, you know. That's one of the problems about the Christian brand and why I don't subscribe to the Christian brand. If you're a Christian, my basic answer is no. I'm not a Christian. Because to say that I'm a Christian is probably to imply a lot of things that I don't believe and would be almost deceitful. to a person who does, who asks the question. So I answered no, it's just like, no. Because I try strongly to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And I do that as a mortal. Okay, but no. Okay, when it comes to the Christian label, you know, I don't. But, you know, but after the label is so watered down, used by so many different people with so many different ideas, that honestly, it ends up meaning nothing. You know, it's like calling somebody an American. That doesn't mean anything. So many different varied people that it's almost like, you know, what does it mean? It doesn't mean anything. You can't make a supposition at all. If you were living in Sakalis, for instance, here where I'm walking, and Sakalis is supposed to be your definition of America, you would get the impression that Americans were Hispanic, primarily Hispanic, somewhat lower class, blue collar, whacked out on large screen TVs and cigarettes. You know, and booze. I don't think anybody outside of America thinks of America that way. So see, it'd be untrue. Even though people in Portales have just as much call to be considered Americans as anybody else. You know? They are within the borders of the United States. They are citizens. And those are the only definitions I know of. So, that's what makes it interesting. So, I find being labeled as an American to be pretty useless. It covers too many people with too many really incredibly varied backgrounds and ways of looking at them. And I find Christianity has the same issues. You know, most of your axe murderers in prison, they're probably have the basic criteria of being a Christian. At least in the modern parlance, Christians amongst themselves divide themselves into factions, yet they are all Christians and can easily take that name. More than needs something more. Although there is some effort to say there is a Mormon movement and it includes all the splinter groups, but it doesn't. The Mormon Church is not what it thinks. It's not when it comes to what is to be lumped with them, very ecumenical at all. And that's proper. And when people start using kind of Christian analogs to it, that's part of the problem. I said, no. It doesn't work. Okay, there's only one acceptable back. And you go, oh, so, you aren't going to accept that one? You go, no. Or that one? Nope. Because it's a God thing, fine. And, you know, it's not. You have to understand, in Christ's time, there was little conjecture in the followers of Christ. What baptism was acceptable. In fact, it was so unequivocal that they didn't even bother really talking about methods or who was allowed to do it. There are some references in the New Testament, but not many. Not very safe. Which is why, you know, amongst Christian denominations, there's all kinds of ideas going from you don't need to be baptized at all to exact wordings and exact procedures for how it's to be done. And whether the baptisms of others constitute an acceptable baptism for any other denomination. I find Christianity actually starting to kind of pull together a little bit. But their attempts to pull together are more about watering down many things, including the doctrine, so that it's more acceptable to a larger group of people. I don't know if it's like an early Christian syndrome. You know, the holidays of Christmas and Easter are predominantly pagan holidays that were just kind of sucked into Christianity. And I think those kinds of things continue, didn't it? Oh, good morning. Oh, I'm trying to get to work. This is my primary way of getting to work. Oh.
Here's a little fitness program in my head.
Oh, my goodness, thank you. Only 5 minutes a day. Anybody can do that. Thank you. Oh, certainly, thank you. Interesting that while I'm talking about this, I get pulled over by a fella, nice fella, who, here's his thing, personal fitness and finance counseling ministry. Oh, that's, you know, that's a good thing, like I said. Some wonderful kids. Doing good. Making the organization as part of doing good. Fine, 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 fine. A lot of good to come from. Anyway, I don't even know where I was. Christianity. You know, it seems like in trying to become unified, they're pulling the same stuff that early Christianity did, which led them down kind of a winding path that got, sorry, the gospel path, in trying to appeal to more people. What's happening today, you know, there's been many ecumenical councils between all the major churches, Catholic, Orthodox, Greek Orthodox, Presbyterian, Methodist, probably the Baptist as well. Of course, each individual congregation decides how much of the parent group they really care to abide. And they don't have to stick. I think at some point, if you go too far, that you have to sever relations, things like that. So, I don't know. Anyway, yeah, so I said I am really quite reticent in general to get involved in organizations and to be called after their name. Of course I am with the LDS Church, of course. But beyond that, yeah, I said I always have to kind of be wary of those kinds of things. I'm not denigrating anybody who feels like they can be like a Mason and a Mormon. That's perfectly acceptable. You know, if they feel like they can do that, more power to them. I'm not the one to spell out what groups are unacceptable with something. I am very aesthetic, so I can't really, you know, I'm not really going to get involved in those groups if I have any problem at all. I am very weird about my associations to the point where I don't have many. I have hardly any. In fact, I get into some problems with the LDS Church and their continuing their relationship with scouting. I'm not telling them not to be involved in scouting. I'm just saying I won't be involved in scouting. And I won't be coerced into doing it. And I'm a little skittish of circumstances that would do that. You know, so I have no problem with shouting as a group. I don't choose to be a part of it. Well, what's the problem with it? Shouting is a wonderful thing. In fact, if you're good morning, you're supposed to be a part of it. That's my problem. Because shouting should be a voluntary organization made up of people who want to be a part of it. It's the whole point that I don't want to be a part of it, yet you find it perfectly acceptable to coerce me into being a part of it. Because now Latter-day Saints, I'll drive the scouts around, I'll help out. Wherever I can, but I'm not going to do that. Because I don't like being too heavy on the grid, unless there's a larger purpose in it for me to do so. If there's nothing that's for the record, I'm not interested in that. I can do that for work. It's required. I don't like it. You go, but I'm not going to volunteer for something you'd ask me to do that. That bothers me. I don't mind signing indemnity agreement where it's like, hey, if that happens to me, I'm not going to sue you. That's I understand how scouting does it. They just have to know that in doing so, that's one of the things that gets me to say, I'm not going to do that. I don't like the world becoming like that. And therefore, I don't promulgate it. By belonging to those kinds of people. Okay. Anyway, let's see what else. So yeah, you know. Nope. I said, because what does that even mean? You go, you know, it isn't even like being an American. I live inside the borders. I'm a citizen. Therefore, I'm an American whether I want to be or not. You know, it was a, quote, gift that was given to me when I was born, I guess. And one that's you're hard-pressed to escape. And the government, if you try escaping, you'll start to understand that America has far more to do with obligation, primarily financial, than it does with anything else. You know, I don't have to say that being a patriot isn't a nice way to be. Just America also has this thing about being so loyal to your government. I obey my government. I do what I have to do. But, I pay my taxes. All the obligations are fulfilled. Right now I don't, I've chosen not to register to vote. And, I don't know, that's just almost a convenience thing, and I'm not trying to justify it at all. I should be registered to vote. I am registered to vote in Clay County, so I am still registered, but I, if I do get called up for jury duty in most circumstances, not in all of them, in most of them, I'm going to be able to avoid it by not registering to vote in the locality where I'm in. Because I can always drive back and vote where I'm registered to vote. And I feel strongly about it. I usually do. At least for the national stuff. You know, do I care who's the county commissioner in the county I don't even live in? Not really. Although I am registered to vote there, you know. It's kind of a military thing. Military people, because they travel a lot, can establish where they vote. You can usually vote absentee wherever you are. And I'm going to take advantage of that. Early voting, which works for me, right? Doesn't bother me at all. So, but yeah, so am I a slug to a certain extent? Well, I jury duty. I kind of jury duty. Especially when I have jobs that aren't very amenable to it. And, find myself problematic. I end up just getting excused because of my philosophical bent. I talked about it recording, I think it's still there. The last time I was on jury duty, I got called up for the DWI case. And that's one of the things that really bugged me. Okay, we're punishing people more stridently for what they could do than what they actually end up doing. If you were drunk and you hit somebody and they got put in the hospital, I think the law would treat you better than it would if a policeman pulled you over having done absolutely nothing to anybody else, even if it hurt anybody else. Of course, all those drunk driving laws also apply if you do hit somebody too, so that's not really true. But you get that. If that's what leads us now. I ended up punishing somebody for something they only have the case of the possibility of doing. We should punish people until they actually do something. That's the nature of freedom, that's the nature of liberty. Not to do some kind of precognition. Well, we know what you're going to do, you know, statistics sense. That's like saying, well, we figured out the gene for shoplifting. People who are quite likely to be shoplifting, and we're going to go ahead and just terminate that pregnancy, or just go ahead when that baby is born, go ahead and terminate the institution, knowing that if we keep them in our society, there's one less shoplifter. It's that road. So, I don't think you should get in it at all. We've got enough trouble trying to prosecute real crime, to spend time, the taxpayers' money, prosecuting, putting through the judicial system, locking up people who haven't really done anything wrong yet. And the reason why it's wrong is because we said it was wrong. It doesn't offend anybody. So, I talked about that. And then they started asking the questions, kind of poking around about jury nullification. And I just came out and said, oh yeah, because I understand that I have the ability as a juror to not prosecute somebody according to a law that I feel is unjust. And that got me right off. Yeah. And the fact that I said it got me totally, you know. I knew I was never going to be on a jury ever, so it's like there's really no point in going through all the rabble rousing of being on the jury. I know that it's a wonderful opportunity to spread the word about my philosophy or whatever. Although now it's, you know, now America is becoming the kind of place where, well, you better be careful about what you're saying. If it's decided that it's just a little anti-American, you could be on some watch list. You could have your job threatened. You could have a lot of things happen to you. So, yeah. So that ends up kind of being part of the justification for I'm not sure to vote someplace, I don't know. The chances of me being called up for jury duty are next to nothing. and the further I get from the place that I am a registered voter, which is in, you know, Deacon Carey, Clay County, New Mexico, the further I get away from there, the less likely it is I'll ever be called up. Because it will be simply a matter of, I don't feel like it, I got to, you know, it's just like saying that you're a Christian. When to every objective view of what a Christian is, or who gets to define what Christianity is, or how they've chosen to be defined, I'm not. It's just as dishonest doing that as it is anything else. I don't hold my citizenship very tightly. Anybody who knows me knows that I'm quite willing to change the country. And they say, well, you don't have the full rights of a citizen. You go, you know what? I'm not sure I want the full rights of a citizen. Just as much as there's responsibilities, you know, just as much as there are, quote, privileges of citizenship, there also are obligations. And frankly, I find lately, in the United States, that the obligation of being a citizen of the United States of America far outweighs benefits. It's been going that way for a long time. It's been allowed because Americans are very patriotic. When we invade other countries that did absolutely nothing to us, except have a different way of thinking, a different way of behaving than we do, and go invade and occupy that country, think of Iraq and Afghanistan, for instance. And the majority of the country, although sometimes conflicted, still waves the red, white, and blue in support of our government. We're going down that road. What kind of, you know, we haven't really gotten down to the point to where we told somebody the atrocities that we aren't going to tolerate. We have never gotten there. The NSA spying on American citizens just in general, trying to ferret out things, I think it's wrong that we do it to foreign nationals myself. And people were hoping that to frame it in kind of a, oh, citizens are being treated like this, they're being treated like terrorists, hoping that would fan the eternal flame of their indignation. It didn't happen. Americans pretty much just kind of shrugged and went, hey, you know what? If we can catch two or three of those terrorists and give up it's not bothering me. I don't have anything to hide. Hey. That's the slope we're on, and everybody who wants totalitarianism, and you'd be surprised who ended up being okay with that, leadership and led together, because you end up having a country that isn't even recognizable. So many people, and I think it's true. So people say, if my grandfather or my great-grandfather could see this, they would take up their guns and start shooting everybody. And you go, yep. You go, well, what are you doing? We need to fight. And you go, well. You go, no, I choose to make a statement with my feet. You know, I don't like what America's doing. I go, well, no, the country's any better. And you go, well, that may be true. And so I will look for such a place. in the meantime, I'm still making mistakes. I left the United States, and people ask me because I didn't like the policies of my country. Which is really, our country is just bad. You guys, do you see me, you know, bowing to that government and you know, being begging for citizenship there? Because I don't think you see me doing this. I've thought about it in the past, surely. You know? Just, you have to have citizenship in some country in order to give up your old one. That's one of the requirements. They've got this weird thing about you can't be stateless. It's tempting in these days to try and be stateless. So therefore, you might end up just getting your citizenship in a very small, inconsequential country that really doesn't, really can't do anything to anybody. And it has no power to test you outside of its jurisdiction. And knows it and doesn't even try. You know, that you aren't its slave. Which is starting to get that feeling around the United States that you are a kept person. I don't care how many people say, oh, America's great, I love being an American. You go, yeah, I know. It's still among the best. So I'm not going to dispute that. I don't want to be a party to what America's doing now. Past is the past. Beautiful, wonderful. Love the founding fathers. Love what they created. Don't like what it's doing. If I could be a citizen of the America of the past, I would fight to get there, just like my forefathers did, to get here, freaking freedom. But now we have a new kind of thing, and it almost has to do with kind of being a little bit internationalist. Finding yourself in a place like that. Doing okay.
Oh, I got some good stuff in here. Wow, I didn't know that. That's even better than the stuff I have now.
I just found a headset with a microphone on it. It was in my little bag. Excellent. All right.